Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 1 and 2, and then going on to verses 6 to 9. Invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty. Don't you love those opening words? They bear repeating. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good. And then from verse 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, repent or perish. Now there was some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you not. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down." "Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Amen.
We're heading toward Easter, and we're using the lectionary readings, readings that are used in Christian worship around the world. We're using these scriptures to guide us on the road to Jerusalem and on the way to the cross. Road to Jerusalem includes temptations, especially the temptation to ease the journey, escape suffering and the horror of the cross. The road to Jerusalem includes perseverance, endurance to go on step by step and not be put off by threat or danger. We must carry on the good work while we have opportunity. Today, we see the road to Jerusalem is marked by the fruit of repentance. The cross of Christ provides us with an examination like no other because it calls us to look deeply and honestly into our motives, our attitudes, the hidden parts of our lives that we don't want anybody else to see. Context, obviously, of the mass shooting in Christchurch will be for some time a context which we will draw our application of Scripture from. And in the Luke reading, we have two references to mass killings or deaths. First thing to note is that violence toward others while they are at worship is nothing new. The first instance is a reference to an unknown event, not recorded elsewhere in history, when a group of Galileans were killed by Pilate's henchmen. Galileans were known for being rebellious, causing uprisings. Galilee, you know, was as far from Jerusalem as you could get in Israel. And so there was opportunity for rebellious ideas to foster and to grow and develop. Then, so these Galileans, when they went to the temple to sacrifice, maybe they had a bit of a reputation. Maybe Pilate just wanted to pick on some Galileans because they were troublemakers. Or maybe they caused some trouble. And then there's this killing. Don't know the setting, but it could have been this, that once a year, lay people, non-priests, were allowed to offer the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices. Normally that's the priest's job, but once a year lay people were allowed to do that, and it could have been on this day. And so if this massacre happened at that time, as they were dealing with the blood sacrifices, then actually their blood could literally have been mixed with the blood of the animals. But however, even if these Galileans have taken all this energy to come to worship, and they're on their way to the temple, or maybe they are some way in the temple, and there's a massacre, even then the people could easily say Pilate mixed the blood. We don't know exactly, but that could be one of the scenarios. It's not a very nice thing, really, to be talking about, seeing we've all likely been traumatized by the attacks of people in worship. It's been going on for millennia. So, did they get attacked because they were worse sinners than others? Was this some form of karma? Had they done bad things, and so bad things were happening to them in return? No, Jesus said they're no worse than anyone else. No, their sin was not being punished when they were killed. Likewise, 18 people had been killed in a disaster when a tower at Siloam had fallen down. Were they worse sinners than the others who escaped with their lives? You know, maybe someone had to drop their kids off at school and so they were late arriving at the tower, or they stopped for Macca's on the way or something like that. Were they blessed? But the people who died, were they being judged? Then Jesus said, no, these people were no better or worse than anyone else. We're all sinners. Highly pertinent. When Christchurch had its earthquakes, some asked, do you think because Christchurch has the name Christ in it, was it being judged for not living up to Christ's name? Is Christchurch any worse a city than Dunedin or Auckland? No, Dunedin and Auckland are just further away from a fault line. Stupidity would ask, was Christchurch being judged again last week? Did those families deserve to be attacked in the mosque? We need to remember this is not an isolated event. There have been attacks on people in worship, a number of different worship settings. There have been Islamic attacks on Christians at worship. And these have been reported close to this in January earlier in the year in Mindanao, southern Philippines, and also historically we know about Nigeria, we know about Egypt. Were they Christians who were being judged by God for being bad Christians in some way? Jesus' response, no. A person's fortune or misfortune is not because of their own merit or demerit. We must eliminate such thinking. You know, was I blessed, Miranda and I, to be able to fly to Scotland, but the people in the Malaysian airline or the Ethiopian airline just recently, were they being cursed? We live in a fallen world where stuff happens. There's often no rhyme nor reason behind an injury, an illness, or something else bad happening. Jesus' wise words drive us not to conjecture about others. Jesus' words urge us to be sober about ourselves. Commentator I.H. Marshall writes, the point is then that natural calamities, and I would add unnatural ones as well as man-made calamities, afford no proof that those who suffer in them are any worse sinners than anybody else. Far more important is the fact that all sinners face judgment of God unless they repent. Jesus was saying we all need to be careful about our relationship with God, ensure our relationship is good and ongoing, and so that we are ready at any time. Be warned, unless you repent, you too will perish. Not that that they're going to have some building fall on them, or not that something else might happen to them, but that at their death they will be separated from God. They will perish. Repentance, turning to face God through Christ. A life once turned away from God, now turned toward Him, facing Him. We have been given the ability to choose. We like Jesus. We like Him, you know, meek and mild. We like Jesus healing and setting free, telling bad people of their fate. But such harsh words from Jesus are a warning for us. Jesus states it as it is. It's not for us to judge others. We are for ourselves to constantly examine ourselves, allowing the light of the Holy Spirit to shine into our lives so that we can see what evil lurks within. Jesus stands here in the line of the Old Testament prophets. Prophets like Isaiah, where Cherie read, seek the Lord while He may be found, call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord that He may have mercy on them, and our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And the psalmist also speaking in something of a prophetic vein, condemnation of making sin offerings but making no effort to turn from sin. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The fig tree is an image of Israel, and Israel was identified by Jesus as being a fruitless nation. But whereas elsewhere Jesus looks to the fig tree and sees it without fruit and curses it and it withers and dies, here a plea goes out by the gardener, please, I'll look after it, I'll fertilize it, I'll water it, I'll dig around it, I'll do whatever I can, leave it one more year, and if it doesn't fruit, then it can come out. And so we hear in our ears words, call upon the Lord while He might be found. In other words, there's a season, there's a chance for repentance. There's a time when it will be too late. That time would be when we no longer have control over our lives to choose Christ's way. We are not to be led astray by the thought, once forgiven, always forgiven. We are to live as people who are freed from sin and who are dead to sin and alive to Christ. The proof of repentance is a changed life. Our lives are to show the fruit of repentance. listening to the rhetoric over the media in the last week, our Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, has done a wonderful job. I heard on a broadcast that the Australians want to own her as their Prime Minister as well. And maybe the Americans are certainly looking closely. She's not just talked about a human response, she's actually shown a depth of humanity in her response. However, I heard her say that she would not use the murder accused's name. And since then, the media have also dropped the use of his name and now just talk about the murderer accused. And the danger is that we dehumanise and distance ourselves from evil and terror. Yes, we want to say in the marches organised by girls from a Christian school in Christchurch, Muslim community, they are us, to say we are all one in the world. Rightfully, we stand against terror. But in the context of the warning of Jesus to repent, we can ask ourselves, is there anything I need to repent of here? How did the events of last Friday shine a spotlight on my life? We might not be propagating hate via social media in a way which fuels violence. Although, I've seen some pretty nasty stuff spread by Christians, which fuels suspicion and us-them sentiments. And this is within Christianity, sad amount of Christians who send derogatory stuff about other Christians who hold different opinions. John taught that perfect love casts out all fear. There is, of course, a natural fear which keeps us from danger. But do we harbour fear of people of different colour, different language, culture, religion? Do we carry prejudices and biases of superiority? We were going to sing a song this morning, Fruit of the Spirit's Not a Coconut, and we will learn that one day. Where we do learn what the fruit of the Spirit is, it's a great way of learning scripture. There was a time when Pacifica immigrants were called coconuts, and this song is not a reference to that. What racial slurs still exist in our society? Despite attempts to expose bullying and abuse, what attitudes still exist toward women in the workforce? What attitudes do we carry toward gays and lesbians? Do we harbour anger or unforgiveness? Unresolved hurt can lead to our lashing out and taking revenge on someone. Now, what attitudes boil to the surface when we see, for example, an Asian driver cut us off as opposed to a white middle-aged male? And what emotions come to our surface when we smell from someone the odours from their body of somebody who eats different food to us? It's true to affirm that people of difference who live in New Zealand, we are like you. But there is a danger if we dehumanize evil and see evil as out there and have no consideration for evil in here. Of course, there's more to ask ourselves in thinking about repenting than prejudiced attitudes we carry toward other people. And what way do we consider ourselves to be supreme over others? We can also ask, what way does greed blind us to the needs of others? We consider our sexual appetites, and Jesus' challenge that to look at another person with lust is the same as adultery. We can look at anger in ourselves and again be humbled by Jesus, who said, if we call someone a fool, we're in danger of the fires of hell. But today, the main thing in the context of our news is to think about attitudes we carry, often because of fear, maybe boiling anger inside as well, toward people of difference. Can we pray with the psalmist, "Search me, O God"? Do we have the courage? Because an inward look is a difficult look. We can't change others. We are responsible for ourselves. I don't want anyone to go away from here today thinking, well, I'm just going to give this faith thing up. It's too difficult. I can never live up to Jesus. Remember the grace offered in the fig tree parable one more year. The attitude is this, that we are open to God changing us. The moment our attitudes harden and our views become set in concrete, then God's Spirit is locked out and He can no longer move in our lives. So relying on God's forgiveness gives us space to grow and change. Fruit is seen as the result of our lives, the outward evidence of our inner lives. What fruit does your life, what fruit does my life display? Is it the fruit of humility, open to change? Do our lives display the fruit of repentance? With courage, would you pray with me the psalmist's prayer? Then we'll pause in silent reflection to make a personal response to what we've heard today. Let's pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.